This preview of the New York Times front page is brought to you by voice-activated sync, the easy-to-use in-car connectivity system which gives you voice control of mobile phones and MP3 players and features audible turn-by-turn directions and 911 assist. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit syncmyridepodcast.com.
New details emerge on the arrest of a Taliban leader. The financial boon of homeownership may be a thing of the past. Caracas, Venezuela might be more dangerous than Baghdad. And colleges are coping with Velcro parents. I'm Jane Bornemeyer. We'll look at these stories and more on the front page of Monday's New York Times. In our top story, when American and Pakistani agents captured the Taliban's operational commander in Karachi last January, both countries hailed the arrest as a breakthrough in their often difficult partnership in fighting terrorism. But the arrest of Abdul Ghani Baradar came with a beguiling twist. Both American and Pakistani officials claimed that Mr. Baradar's capture had been a lucky break. It was only days later, the officials said, that they finally figured out who they had. Now, 7 months later, Pakistani officials are telling a very different story. They say they set out to capture Mr. Baradar and use the CIA to help them do it. In the United States, housing will eventually recover from its great swoon, but many real estate experts now believe that home ownership will never again yield rewards like those enjoyed in the second half of the 20th century. The wealth generated by housing in those decades did more than assure the owners a comfortable retirement. It powered the economy, paid for the education of children and grandchildren, kept the cruise ships and golf courses full, and the restaurants humming. More than likely, that era is gone for good. Instead, many economists say housing values will only keep up with inflation. A home will return the money an owner puts in each month, but will not multiply the investment. Venezuela is struggling with a decades-long surge in homicides. More than 118,000 people have been killed since President Hugo Chavez took office in 1999. Caracas itself is almost unrivaled among large cities in the Americas for its homicide rate. Scholars describe the steady climb in homicides in the past decade as unprecedented in Venezuelan history. Reasons for the surge are complex and varied, experts say. While many Latin American economies are growing fast, Venezuela's has continued to shrink. The gap between rich and poor remains wide. The nation is awash in millions of illegal firearms. Police salaries remain low, sapping motivation. And in a country with the highest inflation rate in the hemisphere, some officers have turned to supplementing their incomes with crimes like kidnapping. The Texas billionaire brothers Sam and Charles Wiley are speaking out for the first time since the Securities and Exchange Commission started investigating them 6 years ago. The SEC is trying to untangle a maze of 58 trusts and shell corporations based in two well-known tax havens, the Isle of Man and the Cayman Islands. In 2006, a Senate subcommittee released a report accusing the brothers of using hundreds of millions in untaxed dollars to pay for business ventures and to acquire art and jewelry, including a $622,000 ruby and a $937,000 painting of Benjamin Franklin. A separate SEC suit in late July accused them of an elaborate sham designed to fraudulently sell more than $500 million in offshore assets. In separate interviews in Aspen, Colorado, where the brothers spend summers, they offered a counter-narrative to the government's scathing 78-page complaint. They contend it's simply good politics to beat up on big companies and rich people.
This preview of the New York Times front page is brought to you by voice-activated sync, the in-car connectivity system which gives you voice control of your Bluetooth-enabled mobile phone and most MP3 players. And sync features turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, real-time traffic and weather, music with the sound of your voice, and your text messages read aloud. All hands-free, so you can keep your hands on the wheel and eyes on the road. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit syncmyridepodcast.com.
Florida's Republican candidate Marco Rubio is facing a more complicated path than he anticipated in his race for United States Senate seat. As a result, he's deploying a new strategy. Mr. Rubio had every reason to think he could defeat his main Republican opponent, Governor Charlie Crist, but Mr. Crist left the party 4 months ago and is running as an independent in a three-way race. Now, Mr. Rubio is facing intense competition for the moderate Republicans and independents whose support he needs in November. He's breaking with the Tea Party to show that he is more than just an insurgent protest candidate. And finally, as the latest wave of super-involved parents delivers its children to college, institutions are building into the day activities meant to punctuate and speed the separation. It's part of an increasingly complex process in the age of Skype and twice-daily texts home in which colleges are urging Velcro parents to back off so students can develop independence. Some colleges have found it necessary to be explicit about when parents really, truly must say goodbye. Moving their students in usually takes a few hours. Moving on, most deans can tell stories of parents who lingered around campus for days. And that's a preview of the front page of Monday's New York Times. For more on these and other stories, pick up a copy of the paper or go to nytimes.com.